Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. I'm a father of five, broadcasting from my basement. Out here in the eastern plains of Colorado, a safe distance from the demise of Western civilization, we're commenting on the fall of it. It's interesting, folks, after 600, 700 years, if you talk about the growth of Western civilization in places like Europe, we're seeing now the decline of these things, and we're commenting on it in the Western plains of Colorado, and hopefully redeveloping a social system for our children, grandchildren, in the generations to come. Well, folks, in the news today, talking about the breakdown of our country, at least in the area of freedom, the Free Enterprise Nation has an interesting article. They were reviewed on Fox News a couple of nights ago, and they've done a study on what is happening with jobs around this country. They found since 2007, the private sector lost 10 million jobs at the same time that government increased by 1 million jobs. During the recession, folks, we are transferring from private to a public-run society in the middle of the destruction of an economy. This is what is happening right now. As the economy breaks down, we're seeing a transfer of power and wealth from the private sector to the public sector. Among the changes were California's loss of 665,000 jobs in the private sector. But the good news, the government in the Golden State added 163,000 jobs. Michigan lost 800,000 jobs over 3 years, a staggering 20%. Government bureaucracies kept all but 7% of their positions. North Carolina showed a stunning 10-year loss of 138,000 private sector jobs. That is, the economy is being utterly destroyed in North Carolina. But the good news, government had a 20% increase. A 20% increase. And that has got to be unprecedented in the history of state governments. Colorado, that is our home state, lost 3% of its private sector jobs over the last 3 years, and government employment increased by more than 17% during the same time frame. Tennessee lost 157,000 private sector jobs while adding 13,000 in government agencies, and so on it goes. This from the Free Enterprise Nation. Folks, what's happening is a massive increase in government. If the private sector has fallen by 10%, by 10 million jobs, which is roughly 10%, if the private sector has fallen by 10% and government has gained a million jobs over that time frame, you are seeing an increase of public to private ratio of about 10%. Government is approaching what we have approximated to be 60% control of the economy in this country. That is, we have almost absolute socialism developing. And, of course, socialism has pretty much enveloped most of the other developed nations around the world, certainly in Europe. But in America, it is here. And we will be an utterly socialized nation in short order unless something changes. But, Dave, more government jobs means less productivity. I mean, you just got to say that. There's not a whole lot the government produces that anybody's running out to buy, at least the last time I checked. You know, we don't go down to the DMV to get good service. I don't do that. I'm not looking at government as providing the best products and services out there. As you increase the size of government, you're going to see the destruction of our economy.
And in fact, Kevin, you can say that when the government has to compete, the government does a lousy job of it. If you order something on the internet, you order a book from Amazon, maybe you order the second Mayflower. Second Mayflower at Amazon?
Not yet.
Okay. In the future, when you order the second Mayflower from Amazon, you're hoping that they will use UPS or FedEx, because if they happen, you check the free shipping box, they happen to use the United States Postal Service, you may or may not receive that book in the next week or two, because you know that the government doesn't do things as well when they have to compete, which is why the government doesn't like to compete, which scares most people when they think about the government running their health care system. With all the efficiencies of the Department of Motor Vehicles. Just take a number and wait in line for a week.
So what does the future hold for this country? Ladies and gentlemen, if government is increasing and the private sector is decreasing, the recession is causing unbelievable unemployment in this country, what can we expect by the year 2025? Folks, barring a miracle, your standard of living will be far, far less in 15 years from now than it is today, period. Get ready for your standard of living to be in the toilet, friends. And there's nothing wrong with poverty, I guess. Maybe that'll be good for a lot of us, a lot of Americans. A lot of Americans aren't all that grateful to God for the good things that God has given us anyway. I hear a lot of whining and complaining all the time from Americans, way more than what I hear when I go to foreign countries, and I've been in foreign countries for many, many years of my life. Americans are some of the whiniest, most complaining people in the world, as far as I'm concerned. So if our economy tanks and our standard of living goes into the toilet over the next 15 to 20 years, that may be God's training for the nation, and it may affect the character of the nation as well. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not saying it's a bad deal, but get ready for your standard of living to sink. And it's happening because of who you elect. You are electing the people who will bankrupt our economy. And by the way, most government employees will not vote for people who will fire them. Dave, is that an obvious point? Most government employees, if government is hiring 50, 60, 70, 80% of the economy, which is happening, then you gotta expect that these government employees are not going to want to elect somebody who would fire them.
In other words, they'll vote in their own best self-interest.
Sure.
At the cost of the nation.
Sure.
Now, who's paying for all these government jobs? I assume these are paid positions that you're talking about, so somebody's got to pay for it.
It's the 40% of the economy that's still employed.
Oh, so this is the 90-10 rule, where 10% of the people pay for 90%
of free water. It's the 40% that are out there trying to produce something still. Of course, they've lost 10 million jobs over the last 10 years and 3 million over the last 3 years. So, folks, we are in trouble right now. Excuse me, it's been 10 million jobs over the last 3 years that we have lost. And if that be the case, friends, the 40% of the economy that's still trying to produce some halfway decent products and services are going to have a hard time paying for the 60% of government employees that are going to vote for socialism and are going to continue to put the squeeze on the 40% doing the work. And that's what we're going to expect over the next few years. But in a moment, folks, I want to talk about the real problem in America. What are the real issues that are undermining the character of this nation? And why is this recession being called a man recession or a he-cession? Be back in just a moment. Stay with me. Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio Program is a ministry of generations with vision, where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org. And this is the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you, monitoring the serious cultural and social changes that are before us right now in the 21st century. And here in the news today, Presbyterian USA denomination is coming together for the General Assembly, and they are considering redefining marriage. No big surprise there, but the story is interesting. Dave, listen to this. This week's General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church USA will consider redefining marriage to include same-sex couples and allowing ministers to perform same-sex weddings. Carmen Fowler, president of the PCUSA Lay Committee, believes these sorts of initiatives are to blame for the denomination's declining membership. Her group supports upholding the church's traditional definition of marriage. The PCUSA's newly elected moderator, Cynthia Bobach.
Cynthia, that's a strange name for a man.
It is. Supports gay marriage, but told the assembly on Saturday that the denomination has become paralyzed. Fowler says that's what's happened when the church body becomes disconnected from its head, Jesus Christ. Dave, reading this article, it just seems like there's a lot of women discussing the future of the PCUSA. Carmen and Cynthia together battling for the future of the PCUSA. I'm not sure there's a man left in the denomination, Dave. I'm looking through this story here. I think it's LifeSite News. I'm not seeing any reference to a man. Is there a guy left? The guy's gone? I guess the guys are gone. The women are fighting over where to put the gravestone for the PCUSA denomination. We should go here. We should go over here. We should put it over here. The women fighting over where to put the gravestone for the PCUSA denomination. Interesting, Dave. I mean, this is one of the most interesting stories. I think the irony is overwhelming.
That you have a bunch of women arguing about redefining marriage.
Yeah.
And they happen to be officers in a church.
Yep. Well, ladies and gentlemen, what's happening right now is women are trying to salvage something. I'm not sure what it is, but they're trying to salvage something. And in relation to that, I want to pick up the other story. It came out of Newsweek this morning, and you have got to read this story now. Just a few days ago, talked about the story out of Atlantic Journal magazine that was referring to the end of men, that manhood is dead in America, and it's being replaced by women who are taking over the marketplace. Well, Newsweek has a multiple-page article, and I believe this is the front-page article in the present Newsweek. Women will rule the world. Men were the main victims of the recession. The recovery will be female. Some of these comments in the story, Dave, shocking. When historians write about the Great Recession 2007, they may very well have a new name for it. The man-session is a term already being bandied about in the popular media as business writers chronicle the sad tales of the main victims of the recession, and that is men. Men are the victims of two-thirds of the 11 million jobs lost since the recession began in 2007 and August 2009, when U.S. male unemployment stood at 11% versus 8.3% for women. It was the largest unemployment gender gap in the post-war era. Those numbers have improved a bit. New unemployment figures show men at 9.9, women at 7.8, but not enough to stop the problem. If they are lucky, these men will have wives who can take care of them. American women are already the breadwinners or co-breadwinners in two-thirds of American households. In the European Union, women fill 75% of the 8 million new jobs created since 2000. Even with a pay gap factored into the equation, economists predict that by 2024, the average woman in the U.S. and the number of rich European nations will out-earn the average man, and she'll be spending that money, as a new book on female economic power influence points out. American women are responsible for 83% of purchases. They hold 89% of U.S. bank accounts, 51% of all personal wealth, and are worth more than $5 trillion. Ladies and gentlemen, right now we're looking at the breakdown of a society. Men are gone. Men may be in worse shape than the Indians were as Lewis and Clark came down those rivers. You remember, if you read the story of Lewis and Clark, if you read those biographies, you know, friends, that as they went down those rivers, those male Indians weren't doing a whole lot except sitting around smoking peyote, impregnating the village, and engaging in tribal warfare. The women were the ones planting the gardens. The women were the ones even paddling the canoes in some point. Lewis and Clark were shocked to see the men not doing a cotton-picking thing that was really useful for the building up of a society and really any useful dominion work. I mean, they'd go out and kill people from time to time and maybe do a little hunting and take away all the wild animals so there wouldn't be any wild animals for the next hunting season. They weren't taking any serious dominion. They were just sitting around doing what men do worst. And Dave, I think that's what's happening here. As our society becomes increasingly paganized, you're going to see women trying to keep some kind of civilization alive for another generation or two as we drag along into a paganized, broken down society, not unlike what Lewis and Clark found and other missionaries found as they came upon pagan societies that were without any kind of a Christian influence for thousands and thousands of years.
Kevin, you have here the total destruction of civilization. Civilization. We had Christina Hoff Summers on a few years ago. You probably remember. She made the comment that civilizations rise and fall on their ability to civilize men. That men have been given a gift of aggression, which is useful for defending land, for providing, for taking dominion, while women traditionally have had preserving roles. And when a society is able to take the energy of the male and put it in a constructive way to build things, then civilizations rise. But when a society fails to use the energy of the masculine gender in a positive way, it falls into total anarchy, gang warfare, and then finally, men who do nothing. If you look at the civilizations in history, you'll find that those civilizations where men were allowed to be men and men acted like men, you had a fairly stable society. You have no historic societies that were ruled by women. And yet we're going to try, for the first time in 6,000 years, we're going to try and have a society that's ruled by women, that's dominated by women in the marketplace. And it's utter sophistry to think that it's going to work this time.
Folks, there are a lot of reasons why civilizations break down. There are epistemological reasons, and we know that man has hardly a reason to live anymore. He's just cosmic dust. He's been told he's cosmic dust, and there is no God who's given him a purpose, as in to love him and serve him and glorify him and enjoy him forever. Don't get that out of the average university classroom, and haven't for the last 200 years, because that's not the purpose for life. The purpose for life is, well, there is no purpose. And that's what you get at the end of 4, 5, 6, 8 years of university study. Folks, man has lost any real epistemological concept, any possibility for truth, any possibility for purpose or telos in life. So there are philosophical reasons for the breakdown of society, but there are also sociological reasons. And when men lose the will to live, when men really come down to the point where they just sit around the house and play video games, computer games, or run down to the Coliseum and watch the games while they cry out to their Roman senators for bread and games, more bread and games, more bread and games, while the hordes come down and destroy civilizations, these so quote-unquote humanist, materialistic civilizations, friends, that's pretty much what's happening right now in this country. And we are viewing the breakdown. It's interesting, Dave, we've got two men in a studio in a basement deep in the woods on the eastern plains of Colorado, still trying to hang on to some kind of a society for the children, for their families. There are a few men out there who are still connected. They've got what we call vision for life. That's why we call this a generational vision program. We want to establish some kind of vision in the few men that still have a pulse and still have some contact with reality and still have some hope for the future and want to build a future society and civilization for the years to come. We assume there are still some men out there because in the year 2035, 2050, we want to see there to be some kind of civilizations alive. Certainly, Dave, in connection with the Church of Jesus Christ. I think the church can do what the church did in the breakdown of the Roman Empire. And you know the church established a wonderful, wonderful civilization of dotting throughout Europe. Of course, it was the Dark Ages as far as the humanists were concerned. But for us, it was probably the most positive, the most encouraging, the most progress being made for the cause of the kingdom of God and for the Church of Christ. It's one reason why you look around at churches in America today or in Europe today, you still find a lot of white people. And that's because there was a lot of missionary work among Europeans for about 800-900 years while those empires were broken down. So I think we'll have tremendous opportunities, Dave, if we can somehow gain a little vision among our men and establish godly families, hopefully in God's system. And we interviewed Randy Stinson a few days ago talking about how to bring a biblical view of manhood and womanhood back into our families. I think that's critical. I think that's a foundation block for preparing our families for the next generation or two, if we're going to establish any kind of civilization during this massive, massive, massive breakdown. Dave, I'm surprised. I mean, this whole breakdown, according to Newsweek magazine, is affecting nations everywhere, not just Europe, but India, China, everywhere. I mean, it's just universal what's happening to manhood in the postmodern world.
Kevin, several things. I mean, first off, if society's going to be saved, it's going to be saved by the gospel. So obviously the church has to play the pivotal role here and has to take the leadership position because it's only the gospel of Jesus Christ that saves, including saving societies. Secondly, it's amazing to me that this recession has so disfavored men, but it makes sense in this regard. It were women who elected Barack Obama. By and large, it was the women who came out in mass and said, we can't trust our husbands, we want to trust the government and Barack Obama to take care of us.
Yeah.
And so he said, you're right, and by the way, I'll just go ahead and dump the jobs of those silly little men working there. So we're actually getting more and more of this recession that disfavors men disproportionately to women. But thirdly, not only does this represent the loss of biblical manhood, because men have been thought of as just bringing home the bacon, not providers, protectors, or prophets of their home. And you take one of those roles away, and I think you destroy manhood. But it's also the destruction of biblical femininity, because women are not now living up to the biblical ideals that the Bible puts forth of beauty and patience and caregiving. Well, why should they? They're not having children. They're just out working for their boss. And Kevin, I believe sincerely that unless we get back to a biblical vision for manhood and womanhood, singleness, marriage, both of those, but masculine and feminine roles, we will not save society. And it won't happen unless we start in the pulpit.
And let's not forget a biblical view of the family and the family business structure. Because remember, what's happening is a fragmentation of the family by means of these socialist systems, by means of the socialist education systems, by means of the corporate systems, by means of Social Security, by means of the fact that we're raising our daughters to be independent, and the largest socialist voting bloc in America is independent single women. This is how we're doing what we're doing, friends. It was interesting, just the other day I was looking at the United Nations Population Fund goals for 2015, and one of the goals is to free up the women, quote-unquote, free up the women, eliminate the gender gap, and the real goal is to eliminate informal home economies. They're really, really concerned that these women are not plugged into large corporations. That is, they're not part of the quote-unquote workforce. They're part of family economies, and these experts hate family economies. They want economies plugged into large fascist, socialist, or communist systems whereby these women can be manipulated and whereby these families can be utterly fragmented, and there will be no families, no family economies in the years to come. I saw a sign in one of the airports we were traveling through a couple of months ago. I'll never, ever forget a picture of a woman carrying some kind of a burden somewhere in the middle of Africa. And it said the world's largest untapped natural resource. The world's largest untapped natural resource. And I thought that's one of the most degrading, horrible pictures and signs I have ever seen in my life, friends. And the reason is because you know what they're saying. They're saying the world's largest untapped natural resource are women for the exploitation of corporations and governments, because we want to put a bullet hole through these families and through these family businesses. We want to see these corporations, these governments controlling and enslaving every single woman in the world. And until we get that done, man, we haven't accomplished our task. And Dave, this is the agenda. The agenda, again, is what Marx said in the Communist Manifesto: abolish the family, abolish the family, abolish the family. Plato's Republic, same thing. No man shall know his father, and no father shall know his son. I mean, this is the agenda. This is the worldwide agenda of the Marxist-Socialist approach to things. And friends, it is happening right now. But again, Dave, as you said, the fundamental issue is we've got to get some vision into men. We've got to make sure men are engaged in the church, and we don't have a couple of women still fighting over where to put the gravestone for the PCUSA denomination. No, no, no. We want men engaged in ideas and fighting for faith and for family and for freedom. Get off the sofa, guy. Get out there and start engaging ideas. And be a prophet in your home. Read the Word of God to your family. Bring a little vision into this. And fight for a little freedom instead of just letting socialism and communism control every single one of our modern nations. I mean, can we salvage one nation out of this entire world? Maybe one solitary nation in the years to come? Dave, I think we can if we have men like David and his mighty men. And Dave, you know that's where it began in 2 Samuel 23. The catalyst to recapturing a nation and taking them away from the slavery of the Midianites and the Philistines and all the others, the catalyst was a handful of 300 mighty men. And I believe this is it. This is my fundamental message, friends. If we don't raise our sons to be mighty men, and if we don't understand the vision of courageous, intrepid men of great, great courage that have the ability to take on every single enemy out there that fronts themselves against God and against the cause of freedom. Friends, the cause is over. The cause is over. Forget it. We won't have freedom for our children.
Kevin, I would like to say to all those feminists out there, congratulations. You're now a more effective slave for the corporation than you've ever been before. Oh, and by the way, moms, as you send your daughters out to college to become independent of the men, you might as well be putting chains on your sons, too, because they're likely to end up in places where the less productive members of society go, oh, let's call them prisons. Kevin, you talk about David. I have this picture here. This is drawn by one of the ladies in our congregation. This is, of course, the young David.
Yeah, isn't that beautiful?
This is gorgeous.
That's beautiful. I mean, he's holding up the head of Goliath. That head's about three times the average head size.
Bloody sword.
Yeah. Yep.
Look at there's a
pieces of flesh falling off of the head of the giant.
Look at the expression on David's face. Yeah. Okay, yeah. This is biblical manhood. By the way, the Goliath today might be things like egalitarianism,
abortion, homosexuality, socialism, feminized men, socialized men.
This is what we need in the pulpits. We need men removing the heads of the giants.
In the pulpits.
In the pulpits of this land.
If you want to do it literally, that's fine. But at least let's take some ideas down. Let's bring some institutions down.
I don't think I see Cynthia in the PCUSA holding the heads of giants saying, no, we got to hold the line on homosexual marriage here. No, it's time to take down everything that exalts itself against the name of Christ, including egalitarianism, socialism, feminism, lack of masculinism. You've been bought with a price. Now live like it.
Let's raise some mighty men of God who can hack the heads of giants off of their bodies. Folks, we need this in the years to come. And we've got some giants in the land, friends. I mean, we've mentioned probably 15 on this edition of the Generations broadcast. We've probably talked about thousands and thousands of giants on this radio program. From our basement here in Elbert County, Colorado. We need young men, mighty men, who have a little vision to go out there and take a giant down here and a giant down there. And that's part of what we're doing on this radio program with 8 or 9 young men that help us with this Generations broadcast. And we want to thank the men who are in here this morning as we bring this broadcast to you. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the Generations radio broadcast. We're talking about real solutions on this edition. And we're talking about salvaging our faith, family, freedom for future generations. And I hope this has been helpful to you. And I hope that you are gaining a vision. The first thing you can do, though, is to start teaching your children the Word of God. Open up God's Word and be a prophet in your home, Dad. You might use our Bible study guides as a way in which you can get that thing going and get a little biblical vision worked out into your own home right now. You can grab our Bible study guides for your family at our website, kevinswanson.com, where you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world. That's kevinswanson.com. Also, be sure to tune in to us from time to time on the homeschoolchannel.tv, sponsored by the American Family Association. Folks, this is the Generations broadcast, and this is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.